This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Okay, we move away from Malaysia and take a broader look at the world. Bank of America strategists are calling this week the world economy's most important week of the year. This week, three of the world's major central banks will set interest rates, and we have the Kim Trump summit down in Singapore. Joining us on the line is Joe Quinlan, chief market strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. Good morning, Joe. Thank you so much for joining us. Want to talk about the geopolitical noises. We had the Trump-Kim summit opening this morning. Well, what about the G7?
Well, I think what happened in Canada with the G7 wasn't unexpected. It turned out worse. I mean, the optics were pretty bad. But I think the world is slowly but surely coming around to the fact that there's going to be more trade protectionism. But it's really very hard to price into the markets, whether industrials, autos, textiles, steel, and aluminum. And the offset is just good growth still. Good growth in the United States. We saw a little softness in Europe. But China, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, I mean, that's the offset, is good global growth. And as long as that continues, I think the markets take some of this trade protectionism threats in stride.
Well, let's look at some of the other things that will keep investors occupied this week. On Wednesday, we're expecting the Federal Reserve to hike interest rates for the second time this year. But the question is, Joe, whether we might be seeing, say, more dovish or more hawkish set of projections coming up from the Fed. What are your expectations?
Well, you're right. We expect them to raise rates in the upcoming meeting, which it should not create too much problem in the emerging markets other than what we've already seen. But I think the Fed's going to be, try to thread the needle, not be too hawkish or dovish. But there's clearer expectations on the part of the markets that this isn't the last rate hike for this year. That's the good thing, in the sense that if the Fed is a little hawkish here, that's in line with the expectation of a strong economy, tighter labor market, a bump up in inflation, and the Fed raising rates again in the fall. So that would be a positive sign, so to speak.
Now, we have spoken about a data-dependent Federal Reserve for quite some time now. And looking at the data, let's look at unemployment, right? 18-year low. Do you think there is more room to go downwards in terms of the unemployment figures, and at least room that the Fed can continue to either price in or maybe even ignore?
Well, no, I think the unemployment rate is going to drop below 3.5% amongst college-educated workers. 4 years degrees more, it's going to drop below 2%. But what the Fed is staring at clearly is a very tight labor market that's going to get tighter and tighter. And they have to be very vigilant about wage and pressure building. I think that's the key. It's the wage pressure that's been missing so far. But we're seeing less than 3% year over year. I think that's going to back up a little bit here. But I think the Fed is ready to look at, say, 3.5% growth. We're not our unemployment rate. We're not there yet. So, and we've got a participation rate that's stuck at 63-64%. So there could be some slack out there yet. But still, the Fed's looking to hike because they expect labor market to tighten and wages to go up.
Joe, we're also going to be paying attention to the reaction in the bond market. Some analysts are expecting the 10-year Treasury yield to hit 3.25% as the Fed continues to tighten. Are you watching Treasuries? And also, apart from the bond market, are you also watching equities' reaction to this?
Well, the biggest reaction we'll watch when the Fed raises rates later this week is really what happens in the emerging markets. We've seen a lot of outflows already, billions of dollars come out. Is it the beginning or the end? Or are we in the middle of the outflows for the emerging markets? 3.25%, perhaps by the end of the year, we'll see. It was above 3%. It kind of pulled back a little bit here. But I think 3% is the new norm for the cost of capital here in the United States with a 10-year Treasury. Wouldn't surprise me. 3.25, you have to have more wage inflation or just inflation in general built into the equation. That's been missing. We've been waiting a long, long time for it. So I see 3.25 perhaps within a year, but not anytime soon, the next couple of weeks or so.
So then what would be the catalyst for a reversal of those fund outflows out of the emerging markets, you think?
Good question. I think they're going to continue to – we'll have outflows from the weaker current account deficit countries, whether it's Turkey, whether it's Argentina. We're using this opportunity to actually increase our exposure in good countries, particularly in Southeast Asia, Asia in general, China. on any weakness here, because we see the longer-term prospects, opportunities. There's a lot of countries that are running current account surpluses. So, you know, we're going to see, I think, more volatility, but I think a lot of this has been priced in. I mean, the first half of this year has been very rough for the emerging markets, and I think a lot of that bad news is out there in general. There could be country-specific problems, but we don't see any contagion. I just don't see that out there, contagion.
Well, the other big market-moving event this week is also going to be the ECB, the European Central Bank, meeting. They're shifting closer to the end of their bond-buying program. Are we likely to see the end date for QE being announced at this meeting, Joe?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I think the ECB there, you could see a little bit more dovish comments, because we did see a softer first quarter read from Europe. And even the April, May, some of the April, May numbers are a little soft here. So they might be unduly hawkish. I don't think the markets will believe them. And the biggest thing there is that we could see another bout of euro weakness, particularly against the dollar. So I think the ECB is going to move a little bit at a slower pace than, say, what the Fed can do, because the U.S. economy is still expanding by 3.5% plus as we speak. And Europe's nowhere near that. I would say it's probably sub-3, but 275 in that range. But Europe is not nearly as strong economically as the United States. So the ECB, I think, will be more dovish than hawkish.
Now, that's on the economic front. But what about geopolitically then? Earlier you said that you do not see contagion for the Asian story. But what about Europe? We had that C word, contagion, rear its ugly head again just a couple of weeks ago. So do you think that's still on the table?
Well, we've got better news out of Italy. No, see, I'm a buyer of any big dips in European equities, even fixed income, because I do believe at the end of the day that Germany, France, a lot of these surplus countries come to the aid of the Mediterranean countries that need the capital. Remember, the Eurozone has a lot of capital. They run a surplus when it comes to the current account. It's just where the money is. It's in the north and not the south, but I think, this is something that President Trump has done. I think he's actually united Europe to be more united, to stand together. And then that means Germany bearing its differences with France, with Italy and Spain, almost in spite of the United States. So I think, ironically, I think, President Trump and our policies here in the United States is going to bring more cohesion for the European Union, but more discord for the transatlantic economy, no doubt about that. But I think, Germany, Merkel in particular, they want to hold it together, and Trump's, kind of inciting more cohesion, not disintegration.
Thank you so much, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management in New York. We'll be back with more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.